Hi, this is Prashant Kumar Pandey. I'm BF third year English honors. I'm going to record the paper 5th history of English literature, and the book writer's name is Dr. T.N. Singh. The content of this book: first, Age of Chaucer; second, Chaucer as a representative and chronicler of his age; third, Chaucer as a realist; fourth, Chaucer and common people; Chaucer contribution in English language literature; and chapter 2, the influence of Renaissance of on English literature; second, the English drama before Marlowe; third, the university wits; second, Shakespeare's greatness; Shakespeare comedy; Shakespeare tragedy; Shakespeare history and plays; Elizabethan sonnets; Elizabethan lyrics; Spenser as a poet; the influence of the Renaissance, the Reformation and the Middle Age on Spenser; Elizabethan prose. Chapter 3, Jacobean drama; Ben Jonson's contribution to English comedy; Ben Jonson's comedy of humor; Bacon's contribution to English prose; Bacon and the Renaissance; the authorized version and its influence on English literature; characters, writers of the 17th century; English prose in the age of Milton; the English metaphysics; the Cavalier poets; the influence of the Reformation and the Renaissance on Milton; the autobiographical element in the Milton's poetry. Chapter 4, the Restoration comedy of manners; heroic tragedy; Restoration prose; Restoration satire; Dryden as a neoclassicist; Dryden as a satirist; Dryden as a father of English criticism. Chapter 5, the 18th century and the age of prose and reason; the new classical school of poetry; the heroic couplet; poetic diction; English verse satire in the 18th century; 18th century prose; reason of the popularity of the periodical essay in 18th century; the periodical essay in the 18th century; comparison of Swift and Addison; reason for the rise of the novel in the 18th century; the rise of the novel in the 18th century; Fielding, work and contribution; Dr. Johnson as a critic; the precursors of the Romantic; revival of the transitional poets; the novel of terror. Chapter 6, the Romantic movement as a revolt; the Romantic movement as the renaissance of wonder; the Romantic movement as a return of nature; Romantic melancholy; medievalism in Romantic poetry; the influence of the French Revolution on English literature; Coleridge as the most complete representative of English Romantic poetry; the historical novel; Jane Austen's achievement; the essay from Bacon to Lamb; Lamb as an essayist; Hazlitt as an essayist critical of the Romantic age. Chapter 7, the social background of the Victorian literature; the influence of science in Victorian literature; Tennyson as a representative of his age; Matthew Arnold as a critic of his age; pessimism in Victorian poetry; Pre-Raphaelite poetry; D.G. Rossetti as a pre-Raphaelite poet; the art of the Charles Dickens; the woman novelist of the Victorian era; the work of literary merits and Carlyle; John Ruskin; the Oxford movement; the naughty 90s; the essay from Lamb to Stevenson. Chapter 8, the major trend in 20th century poetry; English poetry between the two wars; Georgian poetry; English poetry since 1930, modern novel; Lawrence, work and achievement as a novelist; stream of conscious novel; English novel science 1950, modern poetic drama; English drama since 1950, the drama of observed; the problem play; 20th century English literary criticism; influence of Marx in 20th century English literature; influence of Sigmund Freud and English literature. Chapter 9, Utopia; Grosset, Estrophel, Stella; The Touches of Malfi; Ralph Lester Stuart. Chapter 10, Epistle and Arbuthnot; The Dunciad and the Robinson Crusoe; The Battle of the Books; A Tale of Tub and Gulliver's Travel; Joseph Andrews; Lyrical Ballads; The Prelude; Prompthams; In Memories; The Princess and the Maud; Rubaiyat of Umar Khayyam; The Scholar's Gypsy and The Blessed Stemjol; Inspiration, Jude Obscure Theron; The Westland; Murder in the Cathedral; and The Sons and Lovers; The Age of Chaucer. Introduction. For a profound and comprehensive study of an author's literary work is required, among other things, a thorough understanding of the age which produced the nurtured him. Without acquaintance with the historical context, our evolution and apprehension of literature is bound to be lopsided, if not altogether wrapped and grappled. Every man is a child of his age. He is influenced by it, though it, if he is a great man, he may influence it also. A great writer like Shakespeare or Chaucer is generally said to be not of an age, but of all ages. But in spite of his universal appeal, the fact remains that even he could not have escaped the spirit of the age in which he lived and moved and had his being. So far understanding him and his works in their fullness, it is imperative of familiarize ourselves with the influential current of thought and feeling and sensibility, within the bracket, not to speak of socio-politico-economic condition, bracket closed, obtaining in the time in which he flourished. Probably the reverse of it is also true. We may acquire some understanding of these tendencies and currents, the ethos of the age, thorough the writer himself emphasizing this point. W. H. Hudson says, every man belongs to his race and race. No matter how marked by personality, the spirit of his race, the age finds expression through him. The same critic cognitively express the relationship between history and literature, inverted comma, ordinary English history. He says, is our nation's biography its literature, is its autobiography. In the one we read the story of its action and practical achievement, in the other the history, the story of its intellectual and moral development, inverted comma closed. Though Chaucer transcends the limits of his generation and creates something which is of interest of the future generation too, at the represent much of what his age stands for, and therein lies his greatness. Chaucer's age, both medieval and modern. Topic: Chaucer's age, like most historical age, was an age of transition. This transition implies a shift from the medieval to the modern times. The emergence of the English nation from the Dark Age, the Age of Enlightenment, though some element associated with modernity were coming into the prominence, at mostly and essentially, the age was medieval, unscientific, superstitious, chivalrous, religious-minded, and backward in the most respect. The 14th century, as J. M. Manley puts it in the Cambridge History of English Literature, was a dark epoch in the history of England. Noted comma closed. However, the silver lining in the modernity did succeed in piercing, piercing, here and there, the thick darkness of ignorance and superstition. In fact, the age of Chaucer was not stagnant. It was incising, incising, its way steadily and surely to the dawn of Renaissance and the Reformation, which were at a couple of centuries ahead. We cannot agree with Kitteredge, Kitteredge, who calls Chaucer's age a singularly modern time, for that matter, not to speak of the 14th. Even the 18th century was not modern in numerous respects. What we notice in the 14th century is the start of the movement toward the modern times, and not an accomplishment of the movement, which was going to be a march of Marathon nature, Robert Dudley French observed. It was an age of restlessness amid of the ferment of new life that Chaucer lived and wrote. old thing and new appear side by side upon his page, and in his poetry we can study the essential spirit, both the age that was passing and the age that was to come. What are those old things, the new, and the what made the age restless? The answer will be provided if we discuss the chief events and the feature of the age.